TV host and model Janice Dickinson is the latest woman to step forward and accuse comedian Bill Cosby of sexual assault. In an interview with Entertainment Tonight, she said that Cosby assaulted her in 1982.
After dinner, in my room, he had given me wine and a pill, and the next morning I woke up and I wasn't wearing my pajamas, and I remember before I passed out that I had been sexually assaulted by this man.
Dickinson is just one of many women to accuse Cosby of sexual assault in incidents that they claim go back decades.
And today, Netflix decided to suspend a stand-up special with Cosby to commemorate his 77th birthday. That was scheduled to start later this month. NBC is also in development with him for a sitcom, but has made no comment on the status of that project. David Folkenflik is media correspondent for NPR. He's been following this. David, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
So how much pressure do media companies like NBC, Netflix face when they've got something like this on their hands?
Well, you know, they can read public opinion as well as anyone. It, in some ways, is the business they're in, is measuring the zeitgeist. And this is just a case where there's no good purpose to be served for a company like Netflix in plunging right in and saying, well, we stand by our guy. They don't know what the facts are. They weren't there. They would love for this project with Bill Cosby to be a roaring success as they measure such things. And this isn't the moment for that to be achieved. So they suspend it. You know, one suspicion is that if this goes on, they will walk away from it quietly. But, you know, it has, if for some reason Mr. Cosby turns out to be vindicated, then they can rush back and embrace him and say, we're on. Let's go forward.
So should we be waiting for NBC to come out and do something similar, say we're not going to do this project with Cosby?
I don't think you have to wait. I think you have to expect that NBC will just not pursue it with any kind of aerobic intent. You know, it's going to be very poorly placed to both cover this on its from its news division and to proceed from it on the entertainment side. This is just a hopeless place for NBC to be in at the moment.
Yeah, but we've seen this before. I mean, look at Woody Allen. You've got Roman Polanski also involved in these really difficult sexual allegations. Roman Polanski was convicted. How is this different than that?
I think it's different in part because directors and producers usually have one-off projects. You know, if you're a film producer, you can say, well, just judge the work on its own. It's a one project. And in the case of Polanski and Woody Allen, it's a very long time ago, and yet it keeps getting revived. You know, when Woody Allen was being acknowledged by the Academy and the Academy Awards, his children took to Twitter and other forms to assail him anew and accuse him again of having committed essentially child abuse. In this instance, some of these allegations are fresh, but the acknowledgement of them in a very public way really wasn't that fresh. It percolated up in the press here and there for Bill Cosby, and yet it seems to me as though it almost really took a black male comedian, Hannibal Buress's, calling Bill Cosby out, effectively accusing him of rape in a stand-up routine and saying, you know, how is it that you have the moral stature to do this, to give credence to women who had by name made these accusations over recent years.
Well, and we should say, by the way, that, you know, Bill Cosby's lawyer has said in a statement that these are discredited allegations. They're decades old. And the fact that they're being repeated does not make them true. But what about situations in the past where there's not sexual assault or abuse being alleged, but it's just somebody who has become toxic? There was Lance Armstrong, of course, who admitted to doping. And then there was Martha Stewart, who was convicted of insider trading. What about that? And when media companies have to decide what to do?
Well, and toxicity, I think, is exactly the key word there, Jeremy. You know, if you think about those instances and related instances, there's almost some sort of mathematical equation, complicated one, but with the two key variables being, you know, the investment of the institution in the brand of that person, of a Lance Armstrong, of a Martha Stewart, and the toxicity of the accusations or acts by that person. So in Lance Armstrong's case, you interestingly saw his foundation edging away from its pure identity with him. It's a foundation that does incredible stuff in cancer treatment, cancer research, and in stirring activism on that regard. But it subtly shifted its name before he acknowledged a doping, before he admitted what he had done. It shifted its identity to Livestrong. Martha Stewart, you know, stepped away from being, I believe the term of art was editorial director, but whatever it was, in being the person who day-to-day managed, you know, there's the magazine that bears her name, there's the TV show, there are all these different media brands that bore her name. And she said, you know, I won't be doing day-to-day, but they couldn't say, well, we're going to rename it, you know, Homemaker. You know, they had to figure out a way to do this, and they negotiated. Now, interestingly, in Martha Stewart's case, if you look at that, she served her time. She ultimately didn't complain terribly about it. She seemed to sort of take her lumps. And in retrospect, as you look at all kinds of offenses committed by financiers in Wall Street, people concluded that perhaps she was over-prosecuted, even if guilty, of the things for which she was convicted in terms of insider trading. She came back and, you know, it's something she acknowledges sometimes with a rueful joke, but she goes on and she flourishes and prospers.
Yeah, and David, in this case, Cosby is 77 years old. And no matter what happens with Netflix or NBC, whatever they ultimately decide to do, can Cosby recover from this?
You know, it's hard to look at that question solely in that light. You know, I mean, what we really have to kind of think through is what kind of reckoning is there going to be? And to what degree is there going to be an authoritative answer to the question that did this such an epical figure, such an important guy for you know, in terms of the representation of particularly African Americans in popular culture and television, what is he going to have to acknowledge, or is he somehow going to be able to be vindicated? Will there be some final word on this?
Well, it's just shocking to find out about it.
It's shocking, it's incongruous, and it's hard to reconcile, which is, I think, why the press had trouble dealing with this story. I think, to be fair to journalists, you know, this story was raised periodically. Charges were ventilated. Women by name at times came forward, made these allegations. But because there's no law enforcement inquiry on this, it's hard for journalists to point to something seemingly authoritative and said, this occurred. That said, a lot of journalists over the years who have interviewed him prior, particularly the Scott Simons interview with him not so many days ago, you know, they were wary of raising this issue, even though it seems to me very hard to look at this guy and understand him in full without the charges. And one last thing, you know, a biography, a best-selling biography by the very respected journalist Mark Whitaker, a former top executive at CNN, NBC, and at Newsweek magazine, didn't mention these allegations. I don't know how you do a 360 evaluation of a figure like this and his full life without somehow incorporating and trying to weave it in and come to terms with it.
All right, NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik on this story, which continues to develop around Bill Cosby. Thanks so much, David.
You bet.
And I said Martha Stewart was convicted of insider trading. She was actually found guilty of conspiracy, making false statements, and obstruction of justice, and she served time.